us give the Lord a praise this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with all of you. And so this section here isn't very full. And so what we tend to do is preach towards the fuller section. Hallelujah. Looking for some amens this morning. Thank you, Father. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. God, I thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, that you're calling us, Lord, to set ourselves aside. Lord, to seek you first, to seek your heart first, and Lord, to let go of our earthly possessions. Lord, I ask you, God, to minister to us today as we open up this word together. Who's on the Lord's side? Hallelujah. Lord, as we open this word together, I thank you, Lord, that you convict us. God, I thank you that you cut away from us what needs to be cut from our flesh. Lord, I ask you to crucify our flesh today. Crucify, Lord, the areas that need to die in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. Hallelujah. I'm thankful to be here. Woo-hoo! Yes. Thank you, Jesus, for your healing power. I thank the Lord. He's touched my body. I thank the Lord. I'm getting stronger every day. And I thank him. And I thank God that, you know, we do have some possessions, but we don't idolize them, right? And Pastor Leonard bought me a little chariot over here because when I go from one end to the other more than once a day, have you ever walked this building? All right. It's a lot of steps. And so I can do it once, but I can't do it twice yet. So he got me a little red chariot to buzz around in. Yes. So I appreciate that. And I was running late this morning, so hallelujah, I come buzzing into the auditorium on my chariot. Woohoo! So anyway, I'm so excited to be here. And the Lord's really been speaking to me. You know, I've just been shut in with God for the last 6 weeks. Hallelujah. That's one advantage of having surgery and not being able to move around much. You can just get in the presence of the Lord and you can spend time with him. And I'm so excited. And the Lord began to speak to me about this passage in the book of Exodus. Who is on the Lord's side? Hallelujah. And that's got to be our commitment in this season, because this world is on a collision course with God. And what we see going on is not a battle between the left and the right. It is not a battle between Democrats and Republicans. It is a battle between good and evil. And sometimes, say sometimes, we are unaware that we have made an agreement with the devil. And there is no neutral ground. There is no middle ground. The Bible says in Isaiah 5:20, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And what we see in the world, in America today, is what is evil, the world is calling good. Our culture has declared it as good. And I'm telling you, church, it is evil. It is evil. And we have to get that settled in our heart. We are not going to be popular in this season. Except to those who want to be set free by the power of God. Amen. You know, the world is on a collision course with God, and it is a dead-end course. Yep. And you know, some people love evil rather than loving good. And you know why? That's because their heart is still in sin. The God of this world has blinded them. Blinded their hearts and minds. And so today, we're going to reflect on this important question. Who's on the Lord's side? Or a more personalized of it is, am I on the Lord's side? And I'm going to sit on this stool a little bit here. My leg doesn't like to stand as long as I'd like to stand. So just as there's two sides of the coin, the head and the tail, there's always two sides in the spiritual realm that we're living in. And we have to be aware of the good and the evil that is going on, of the manifestations of heaven and the manifestations of hell, the manifestations of God's kingdom of light and the manifestations of spiritual darkness of the kingdom of darkness. It gross darkness. You've got to say gross darkness has covered this earth. It's gross. It's gross. And God has taken this time to expose the depravity of man and what's really in their hearts. And God is giving them a space of repentance. He's not willing that any should perish. And the gospel is the only thing that can set them free. But I heard the Lord say that we cannot straddle the fence. Some folks have one foot in the world and they have one foot in the church, and they put on their church clothes and they put on their church face, and here they come acting all churchy and religious. But God sees that, people see that, and you are a horrible witness for the power of God. Because when the power of God comes in your life, it changes you. It changes you. You're different. You're not that same old person. You cannot put it on in this season. God is calling every Christian into a place of deciding, what side am I on? You know, I was baptized with the Holy Spirit when I was 13, and I'm 70 years old. So I've been baptized with the Holy Spirit longer than most of you are old. And so I've been around a lot of church folks. And this has been an issue for as long as I have known church folks. They like to put it on and act all churchy and super spiritual. Well, I want you to know that God is going to expose that in this season, and it absolutely stinks. It stinks. It stinks. It smells rotten. You are rotten to the core until the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you and changes you from the inside out. You can't put it on anymore. Because either you're going to be on God's side or you are partners with the devil. There is no in between, no middle ground. So where are we standing this morning? And we're going to go to a story in Exodus. Exodus 32. And just to give some highlights, I wanted to go in and read the first verse of this chapter. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And so Moses had gone up into the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments from God. You know, you will never be free, totally free, until you have the law of God written in your heart. Laws do not bind you. Laws release freedom to you. And in this lawless society, we see that the enemy is running wild. People are running wild. They're absolutely delusional. When you hear them talk and they say, "This man is a woman." No, he's a man, for Pete's sake. He's not a woman. How in your mind can you get that twisted? It's a perverted spirit. It is so perverted. And I'm telling you, the cancel culture is after the word of God. They might have canceled Dr. Seuss, but what they're really after is the word of God. Because it seems that defilement does not bother them at all. YouTube takes ministers off of the YouTube channel, but leaves on Little Nas and his nasty video. I'm telling you, it is disgusting what is going on in the world, and it is in your face. The evil is in your face. It is in your children's face, and the devil is out to steal your children. He is out to rape and rob and steal this generation. I'm telling you, it's a serious time that we live in, and you cannot be playing with the devil. Either you got to be on the Lord's side, or you're going to find a lot of destruction in your life. Because the word proves it. God's not destroying you. The sin that you choose to do destroys you. God has laws and principles that are set in motion. And when we disobey them, you reap the consequences of your behavior. Yeah. Yeah. You don't get all the excuses that you find, in the world, the excuse for the behaviors. Well, they did that because da-da-da-da-da. No, they did that because there is evil in their heart. There is sin in their life. People cannot be set free without Jesus Christ, but the world is trying to set people free every other way. And they think they're so wise. They think they're so smart. They think they have all the answers, when the answer is simply Jesus Christ crucified on the cross. Hallelujah. It is not that complicated, church. Don't complicate it with people. You know, the gospel might sound foolish to you, but it has the power to save people from eternal death and destruction. Hashika mashata. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hamashikana. Thank you, Lord. Ha! Lord, ignite us today. Ignite us today. Let's go to Exodus. We better get on our passage. Hallelujah. So we're going to read this. If you'd like to read along with me, go right ahead. When Joshua heard the sound of the people shouting noisily, he said to Moses, "That's the sound of war in the camp." But Moses said, "Those aren't songs of victory. And those aren't songs of defeat. I hear songs of people throwing a party." Now let's just stop right there. Let's remember, Joshua was a young leader. Joshua was learning and mentoring under Moses. Joshua didn't have all the experience that Moses had. When you're an experienced minister, I can talk to you and I can tell by the tone of your voice what is going on inside your soul. I'm telling you, there is a growing and a learning, and Joshua was learning. He thought it was the sound of victory, and Moses, who had the heart of the people, because he was before God interceding for the people, God was ready to kill these people. He was so upset with them. And if at any time in your life you need a leader that is standing and interceding on your behalf to God, have you ever heard that before? You got to know who's covering you. There are people that will take your money, but they don't care 2 cents about you. There are churches that will take your money, but they don't put in the time to seek God's face, to intercede on your behalf and your situation. Come on. God exposed the shepherds that are just robbing and stealing from the sheep. They put on a good show. And that's all it is. We've got to be wise. We can get duped in to so many evangelistic ministry schemes, and so our money places that they're using it for their airplane, they're using it for their $1 million house, they're using it for their $500 shoes. Come on. Come on. I'm serious this morning. God is judging the church first. Judgment begins in the house of God, and God wants to know if we're committed this morning to do His work and not committed to building our own kingdom. Moses knew what was going on. He knew probably before he heard the sound. So let's read on. We're on 19:20. And that's what it was. When Moses came near to the camp and saw the calf and the people dancing, his anger flared. He threw down the tablets and smashed them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf that they had made, melted it down with fire, pulverized it to powder, then scattered it on the water and made the Israelites drink it. They had to drink it. You're going to drink this God you made. You're going to see how bitter it is in your stomach. They were following the patterns of the pagans. And if we're not careful, we will follow the patterns of the world and do what everybody else is doing. And that is not who God called us to be. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate. Thus saith the Lord, and do not touch the unclean thing. Amen. Don't touch it. Amen. Can't touch that. Hallelujah. Jesus. He pulverized it to powder. Let's go on. 21. There's a lot there, but we're going on. Moses said to Aaron, what on earth did these people ever do to you that you involved them in this huge sin? Come on now, Aaron was the priest that was left in charge to keep the people under control. You can't trust every leader. Leaders that give you what you want, preach what you want to hear, will condemn your soul to hell. Patty's happy about that. She gets that. Come on now. And Aaron said, Master, don't be angry. You know this people and how set on evil they are. They said to me, make us gods who will lead us. This Moses is the man who brought us out of Egypt. We don't know what happened to him. So I said, who has gold? And they took off their jewelry and they gave it to me. And I threw it in the fire, and out came a calf. Now, that is an absolute lie. Not only did he let the people run wild, but he's lying to his oversight. If you read in the chapter and the scripture, I've got it later on, but I'm not so sure we'll get there. But He put the gold in the fire. He had a mold that he poured the gold into. And then he took his tools and he crafted this image. Come on. He spent a lot of time making another god for the people to worship because that's what they wanted. And he had a weak backbone and he couldn't tell the people no. He was afraid of the people more than he feared God. You do not want to sit under a leader that fears people more than they fear God. Shikamashata. So he told Moses, he just threw it in and out came this calf. What a lie. Let's read on. Moses saw that the people were simply running wild. Aaron had let them run wild, disgracing themselves before their enemies. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. So that's the question. You know, for many years, many of us served the devil. We served him. We were on the enemy's side. We had sin in our heart. We had hatred, unforgiveness in our heart. We were miserable. We had addictions. We were greedy. all we thought about, we were narcissistic, we only thought about ourselves. We've been there. We don't want to go back there. The children of Israel, they were imitating the pagans, the Egyptians, from which they came. They had just been delivered from that mess, and then they did it again. Look at how much they learned living in that society, that they could imitate them. So after all the trials and the difficulties that we go through in life, and we all have trials, we all have difficulties, we all have a burden to bear. But after all of that, and in the midst of all of that, we've got to make a decision that we are going to serve the Lord. God is still demanding purity. He is still demanding holiness. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. You cannot live in the world and dabble with the things of the world and serve God. It's just not going to work. There is a clear line God has. And then, you know, people like to say, well, the enemy made them do it. And now they have these scientific studies that are saying, well, you really don't have a free will. This is their latest scientific study. You really don't have a free will because you're going to do what was already planned for you to do. And so even before you do it, it was already in your heart to do it. I don't know. I can't get that straight in my mind. And that's always the way the Holy Spirit, since I was very young, if someone was teaching something and I couldn't get it going, I'd write it down. And then I would go to the Word to prove it for myself. Because often, like these scientific studies, they're trying to convince you of something that it is beyond your capability to decide whether or not you're going to commit a crime or commit robbery or whatever. I mean, you see so much of it on TV, it's horrible. They wonder why our society is violent, because we have violent video games, because we have violent movies, because everything is violent. People making fun of each other, being sarcastic, being bullies, and that is all laughed at, and that is entertainment. And they say, oh, it doesn't affect people. Oh, yes, it does. There's been a steady diet of it. So you can't blame the devil. James 1:14 says this. It's not on the PowerPoint, but it says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. So it is your fleshly desires. And so we dress up this flesh, we clean up this flesh, and we try to make this flesh look as good as we can, but this flesh in God's eyes cannot be rehabilitated. Your flesh has to be crucified. Your flesh has to die. Your flesh will not be saved. The scripture says no flesh will glory in his presence. The more you die to yourself, the closer you'll become to God. You can't have it both ways. You know, Americans like to have a smorgasbord of decisions, and we like to have choices. You can't have it your way. God set up principles in the Word that we are to follow after. And it is our own desires. It is our own heart. It is our own flesh. It's what we want that tempts us and leads us into debt that is way over our head. Hello, am I talking to somebody here or out there somewhere? Gotta have it. You can, if the Lord gives you the money and gives you the release to buy it. But what God is saying, we've got to be loyal to Him. Are you loyal? Are you a loyal friend? Are you a loyal church member? Do you go above and beyond to get to service? Are you really on the Lord's side? Because if you're really on the Lord's side, then you're going to be doing the work of the ministry and you're going to be hooking up to the team. You'll be serving your family. You'll be helping your family. But there is a church family and a mobilization that God mandates churches to. Are you committed? When we change signs, we get a really sides. Go back and forth. You get a reputation of being double-minded. You betray trust. And I thought about Benedict Arnold. Does anyone know the story? Ever heard of Benedict Arnold? I don't even know if they still teach about Benedict Arnold in school. But he changed sides. He was a general during the American Revolution War. And originally he fought for the American Continental Army. But he deflected to the British Army. And when he was a general on the American side, he was in charge of West Point in New York. Bless her, Lord. That sounded like it hurts. But he was in charge of West Point, and he had made plans to give West Point over to the Brits. And when it was all exposed, he immediately resigned and took a position in the British Army. And the main reason he had done all of this was because he was so far in debt. And he was doing it for money. How many times do we see politicians just doing stuff for money? Say every day. I wouldn't want to be bought and have to bow my knee to someone who was so cruel. Because whoever is pulling the puppet strings in Washington, D.C. is cruel. Yes. Amen. What we see going on in America is unbelievable. And we've lived in America a long time. And I see posts on Facebook, I miss America. Lord, help us. We are in a battle for the soul of America. And it is up to the church, the ecclesia, to take a stand for what is right and what is wrong. What is evil and what is good. And we have been so trained over the last 15, 16 years not to speak up that we need to start speaking up. Be a voice. God gave you a voice. And it doesn't hurt to say, I don't agree with that. That is contrary to God's will for America. Amen. Jesus, help us. America has a destiny, and if we're going to fulfill it, it is up to the church to rise up as the army of the Lord and take possession in the spirit realm over principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. What we see being legislated in America is the agenda of fallen angels. It is the agenda of fallen angels that is being legislated. Jesus, help us, and set those politicians free from the political spirit and the grasp that the demonic powers have upon them. Lord, help us. Jesus, there's so much going on in America, but we are talking about who's on the Lord's side. You know, America's not going to change until the church decides they're on the Lord's side and they stop acting like the world. Jesus, help us. So Moses had to plead with God not to kill the children of Israel. And he was so intent on it. He said, Lord, blot my name out. Take my inheritance. Don't take the people. Look how much he loved the people. He loved the people. He said, I'll give myself. Don't destroy them, God. But God cannot tolerate sin. And he punishes it. And the Levites were sent out. If you read that whole chapter, the Levites were sent out with their swords. And 3,000 men were killed that day. They wavered between two opinions. We cannot waver between two opinions. It's best just to keep your eyes on the Lord and his word and his truth than to start listening to opinions. Everybody has an opinion. You've got to take it back to the Word of God. God created male and female, not 58 genders. Oh, my. I hope they're not making kids memorize them. So number one is the personal reflection. Am I on the Lord's side? You can change it. To reflect means to contemplate, to think about, to ponder seriously. You know, that's what the Sabbath was set aside to do. The Sabbath was set aside for the people of God to get with God and contemplate and think about their life over the last week. And Lord, show me my weaknesses. Forgive me for my sins. Lord, help me to do better this week. Give me the strength to do better this week. So we need to analyze and look at our present standing in Christ. Because many come into the kingdom of God full of zeal. I'll serve the Lord. But then they abandon their position. And they end up going on the side of the enemy. You cannot accommodate and you cannot tolerate sin. We can't accommodate and tolerate. Sin is sin. So the question is, do you still have the passion and the zeal and the fervor and the devotion for Christ after many years of serving him? I know a lot of people here have served him many, many years. Or have you lost your love, your first love, for the material things of this world? They sparkle, they glitter. But there is a line of demarcation between the Lord's side and the enemy's side. And at times it's very thin. And it can be confusing. This is why the study of God is so important. Knowing God. Theology is my love. I love theology. I love to study God. I just get lost in reading commentaries and I know, I'm just a little weird. But I love it. In school, when we had to read commentaries, I was so excited. I love the study of God because the more I know Him, the more I know how to serve Him, the more I understand what He wants from me. And the more we understand God, the more we recognize what the enemy is up to. And he's always up to something. And it always brings confusion. Can you imagine the confusion in children's minds? It always brings in chaos. We see our cities in chaos. I heard yesterday, now there's tent cities on the public school grounds when the kids are supposed to be going back to school in Portland, but they've let the homeless people. And so we have all these immigrants coming across the border, and I may get in trouble for saying this, and they're putting them up in hotels and making provision for them, but we have thousands of homeless people on the street that are Americans that need help. Where are our congressmen and our mayors and our representatives? Why aren't they rising up and making a noise? You got to make noise. You got to get in the middle of what is going on. For too long, people have stood back and just let the devil have free reign, just like Aaron did for the people, the children of Israel. Just let them run wild. And that's the lawlessness that we see today in our streets and in America. And God help our senators and our congressmen and our mayors to rise up and be a voice of truth. It's the truth. It is not that complicated. I had a professor that used to say, common sense ain't common. And boy, that's the truth. It just ain't common. It's not that difficult to know that we have thousands of homeless people who need help. And Lord, we pray for them. Lord, they've gotten themselves in this situation. They didn't plan on it, but there they are. So, Lord, we agree and decree as the ecclesia in the earth, Lord. We decree and declare, Lord God, that you are convicting the hearts of congressmen and senators and House of Representatives and all those who are involved in our government, Father. You are convicting the hearts, Lord, to have a heart that turns towards the homeless, towards those, Lord God, that are lost in our streets, Father God. Lord, help us, Father, to use our resources wisely and to be good stewards with what you have blessed America with, oh God. Jesus, help our brothers and sisters to wake up and to ponder carefully this present situation that is happening in America. Father, we ask for a quick work to be done in their hearts, Father God, that you stop the bleeding at the border. Lord, that you stop this surge at the border, Father. I thank you, Lord, that the border wall is paid for. The supplies are there. Father God, I pray that you put it in the hearts, Lord, that the wall begins to be built again, oh God. Close up the gaps. Read the Bible. That's what God did in the scriptures. He put up the walls. He closed the gates. That's right. That's right. It's not that hard. But when you don't know the Word of God, it's like, we're going to close pretty quick, but it's like when they began allowing males to compete in girls' sport because they think they're girls. The scripture clearly tells us that the woman is the weaker vessel. We aren't weaker in brain power. We aren't weaker in our salvation. We are not weaker in our inheritance and our call from God. But we are physically weaker. It's true. We need men. I always tell Leonard, I'm so thankful for him and his strength. Honey, can you bring up my laundry basket? Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I had gone up and down the steps. It's wonderful to have a knee that works. And I was going up and down the steps, and I did it way too many times. I have to learn to pace myself. And it was like, oh, my knee was not going to do that one more time. So he saved me, went down and got my clothes out of the dryer, brought up my laundry basket. But men are stronger. They're just stronger. You know, I told Jay this morning, I said I was going to have you help me down the steps, have you help me back up the steps. And finally, I just decided to stay up here. But it's wonderful to have a strong arm to hold on to. Amen. Give a hand for our men. We love our men. Yes, Lord. We praise and thank God for our men. They are mighty men. They're in the Caleb troop. They have a different spirit about them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So when they legislated that law, I'm like, those women never will stand a chance. It is so wrong. And I haven't heard where that's at right now, but it just needs to be boycotted. States need to make it illegal. And we don't want men in our restroom. Go in your own restroom. Oh, my goodness. We don't want boys in our girls' locker room. We don't want girls in the boys' locker room. Do you see how confusing this is? It is chaos. It is confusion, and the voices need to speak up and call a spade a spade. Yes. We're so careful not to offend. Well, this is a time, I'm telling you, the truth is going to offend people. Because they need to be set free. The truth, what does it do? It sets you free. In Matthew 27:21, Jesus reminded us that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. We have politicians that say they're Christians, politicians that say they're good Catholics, but the fruit of their life says something else. And we are not blind. Amen. And so, Lord, remove those whose heart is not towards you. We have an election coming up. Hallelujah. And everybody better be voting. So we know it's not what you say that counts, but it's what you do. So what are we doing every day that is demonstrating the love of God, that is demonstrating the kingdom of God? Are we available? Elder Sylvia and I came in to pray for one of the children that's in the kids club here on Tuesday night. We were asked to come in and pray with them, and so we did. And the phone rang, and there was someone who called us who wanted to know about our church service and who needed prayer for their back. And just was really struggling because they asked their pastor for prayer and they said, my pastor wouldn't even pray for me. And I'm like, well, that's really strange. I don't know if that's true. I didn't say this to them. But when you ask your pastor to pray for you, your pastor should be praying for you, whether they like you or not. God chooses the family of God that meets together. This is us right here. We're missing quite a few today, but this is us. And we're calling them back into the house of God. If you're listening today, it is time to get back into the house of the Lord. We have a pandemic of fear that has taken over Christians. They say over most of the churches, not even 40% of the people have returned. And so I say you're being lazy because you're not getting up on Sunday morning and putting in that effort to get into the house of God. Because you get something here from your brothers and sisters and the presence of the Lord that you're not going to get anyplace else. You're not going to get it anyplace else. You're not going to get it at Walmart. You're not going to get it at the restaurant. You need to be in the house of the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. I told Pastor Jay that song, The Potter, has been on my heart. I've been playing it, singing it. I've got a keyboard set up out in my office at home, and I have loved just my time with the Lord. And I said, I want to sing it this morning. I'm bringing my five loaves, you know. Couple fish. This is all I have. But Lord, I present it to you. You break it up. You multiply it. You feed your people. I don't feed your people. I simply bring what you've given me, Lord. And this is what I've got. And it sounded so beautiful. And I start crying hearing you sing. I'm going to cry now. And I couldn't read my music. You can't see it through your tears, you know. But if you weren't blessed, man, I was blessed. I was blessed. God has blessed us. Take us, Lord. And that's what this message is all about. And we're going to end here. But that's what this message is about. Lord, I bring all that I am. I bring all that I have. And Lord, I commit myself to you. Lord, help us, Father God. Lord, to commit our heart, our lives to you. Lord, to give our lives for the kingdom of God and to serve one another passionately, fervently. You know, the scripture talks about the household of Philip. They were addicted to the work of the ministry, to serving in the house of the Lord. It is what gave them their meat. It's what gave them their joy. Lord, let us return to the house of the Lord with a passion, Lord, to do your will, Lord. I thank you, Father, that this morning, Lord, you're healing us, Lord God, from any pain or shame or suffering, Lord, from the past. God, I just thank you, Lord, that those who have stepped out, Lord, to do something for you but felt rejected, heal them from the rejection, oh God. And I thank you, Lord, that they have the willpower and the strength, Lord God, to step out once again. And Lord, I thank you this morning for your saving grace. I thank you for your salvation, Lord, that you paid the price for on the cross, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for your resurrection power that brought us the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I thank you, God, for the baptism of fire, of power, God, that you've released to your church, the resurrection power that gives us the power to live every day. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for eternal life. But it was the resurrection power that releases power to us to live every day for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can say no to sin. We can stand up and say who's on the Lord's side. And when you take a stand, I believe that you're going to see there are other people working around you. There are other people in your family that are going to say, I will stand with you. And you can count on River of Life standing with you. We have intercessors that are praying and interceding. They are prayer warriors. We have prayed through so many things over this last year together. We have seen the hand of God move miraculously, and we are believing for more miracles, more signs, and more wonders. And we are believing for God to release, to us another level of deliverance. That's what Elder Sylvia and I have been doing. That's what people are calling for. We need to train the saints to do the work of the ministry in deliverance. And Elder Sylvia and I have been talking about a course. We've been talking about the Prophetic Deliverance Course from Christian International. And it is a very good teaching on how to do the work of the ministry. Jesus gave you that power over all the authority of the enemy. And people are walking around bound, and you might be too. Because the devil oppresses us. And if we're not careful, we start listening. And pretty soon, we're in the woe is me state. So, Lord, set us free from every demon, demonic oppression, Father, that is tormenting our minds, that has tried to take up residence in our soul. I take authority over you, spirit of oppression, and I bind you in the name of Jesus, and I command you out in the name of Jesus. Loose the people of God. Loose the people of God. All oppression. All oppression. The enemy is trying to weigh you down to keep you from rising up. It's time to rise up. Can we rise up this morning? Hashi, come on, anana. Who's on the Lord's side? Hallelujah. Jesus, we stand up. And we declare, I am on the Lord's side. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise. Ah, Shama. Yeah, Shama Kasia. Halalalama Sata. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hamashika nanana. Yes, Lord. Shata. Woo! Thank you, Jesus! Woo! Woo! Hallelujah! Yes, Jesus. God is so good. I want you to look at somebody and smile at them. And release the blessing of the Lord on them. Find somebody, release the blessing of the Lord, look at them. We're not supposed to get too close. Oh my goodness. But look at somebody and release the blessing of the Lord to them.